I want to talk to you this morning, the third in a series of Attitude of Gratitude, Living the Blessed Life. Living the Blessed Life, and I have a handout if you'd like to hand those out as we begin this morning. A few weeks ago, we had finished a series on the Beatitudes and the blessing in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. The fact that we are blessed should come as no surprise to us, especially after that series. It's not foreign to us that are walking with God that we are blessed. Maybe in not the ways that we would selfishly think, but we are blessed. How many know we're blessed? The fact that we are blessed should come as no surprise. And I made a statement then about the blessings of Deuteronomy being a given in the lives of New Testament believers, especially Deuteronomy 28. If we cannot believe that, we will have problems believing that blessings are ours now, today. Far more and far above anything we can imagine. Living our potential is far and away the greatest goal. God caused us to live a life of blessing, and He supplied blessing for us. Anything under that is robbing God of what He's given us. God has given us blessings, and we should live in the blessing of the Lord. Turn to somebody and say, live in the blessing of God. Come on, somebody. We've got to get a hold of the promises of God and walk in them, especially in this hour. There are people looking to us for examples. They've looked at politicians and been let down. They've looked at actors and actresses and definitely been let down. They've looked to all sorts of things, and now finally their heads are turning towards because of the consistency of the message. I'm not talking about those that are aberrant messages. I'm talking about those that have set this whole time. We've lived through a generation of ups and downs and the generation gap. Some of us have been here for so many years. We have seen it all. I mean, we've seen families widen, families get close. We've seen the education in our country go downhill and uphill and around the hill. But they are finally turning their heads towards us. And we've got to continue to be consistent. Consistency will win out. I was with a group of pastors the other day, and one of the pastors said, integrity is everything. A lifetime to build and only a second to destroy. We must be people of integrity in this time. And part of that is living the potential. You can imagine if somebody labored and built a 10-room home, and you moved in and only lived in one of the rooms. You can imagine if somebody gave you $1 million and you only spent 300 of it. The potential that God has given us to live is far above and exceeding what we could ask or hope for. Hallelujah. And when we live in those blessings, it's a reflection upon the Lord, even in the worst of times. Because our supply doesn't come from what this earth gives us. Our supply comes from our Heavenly Father. Amen. And like it or not, we were born, 1 out of 5 chances to be born here in this nation, 1 out of 20 chances, 1 out of 5 or less, 1 out of 3 or 4 to be born in a third world country. God birthed us here for a purpose and a reason. Anybody hear what I'm talking about this morning? Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. God's power is working in us. Pretty obvious that that was even happening this morning. So I want to talk about a few blessings this morning. If you have your notes in front of you, I'm sorry for as many blanks. If you don't want to fill in the blanks, that's fine. Just listen. But I did that so you can take it home and do some studying yourself, because we are being challenged to live the blessed life. Persecution will come. We don't need to worry about that. Come on, somebody. Persecution will come. We don't need to worry about that. The enemy does well at persecuting. And so we'll live through the persecutions. We'll live through the tough times. We've lived through others. I've been flatlined several times by the enemy, but he can't take me out, turn and say to somebody, I've been flatlined, but I've been resuscitated. Come on. So the enemy can't take anything from us. He can try. He's tried before, and he ain't won.
That's right.
And he won't win because he can't threaten me with death.
Yeah.
Can't threaten me with being broke. I've been broke. Can't threaten me with being ugly. I am ugly. Can't threaten me with any of that. I can stand on God's promises. And God has given me everything that I need pertaining to life and godliness.
Hallelujah.
I'm talking about going somewhere where we're 10 foot tall and bulletproof again. This generation is looking for people that are confident and bold in Christ.
Amen.
Number one, we are blessed through Abraham. If you were here during the meetings with John Chiver, he said, God is blessing us because he promised he would bless us. No other reason. He's a God of his word. If he says we're blessed, we're blessed. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. Turn there with me. Galatians chapter 3. Genesis, Exodus, Galatians. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Since the blessings come through believing Abraham, it is our inheritance, not our works. See, we don't earn being blessed. We're blessed because of our faith. Come on, somebody. We don't earn blessings. Three vital steps to believing this, that we're blessed, is number one, an undivided heart. Don't ever say, no matter what you're going through, don't ever say that you've lost the blessings of the Lord or that somehow he lifted the blessings. God is always blessing. That is his intent and that is his goal and that is his consistency in our life to bless us. And the minute that we think, God, have you blessed me? God, are you blessing me? God is blessing all the time.
Amen.
His consistency towards us is blessing. Even in chastening, he blesses. Every time I say that, I hear my mother say, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. I never got that. And I tried never to say that to my children. A couple times I probably did. God loves us. And we should have an undivided heart towards him. Number two, an uncompromising stand. And that means that we're not going to take blessing from any other place. We're not going to take accolades from any other place. We are living our lives for an audience of one. If I please God, that's all I want to do. I just want to please the Lord. I don't want to offend you. I don't want to hurt you. I hope that you like me. But you know, if you don't, I don't have to stand before you on that day. Come on, somebody. I stand before the Lord. And so I live my life to please him. And hopefully if I'm doing that, people can tolerate me. Number three is an unwavering faith. No matter what happens, ask the Lord to give you consistent faith. Because he wants to bless you. Number two, we are blessed not only through Abraham, but we are blessed spiritually. I have everything I need in my spirit. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, what's every mean?
Every.
In the Greek, what's it mean?
Every.
In the Hebrew, what's it mean?
Every.
Every spiritual blessing. It's not a guess. This is not a guesswork. God, did I get in on this blessing or did you miss me? God, I see everybody else being blessed, but I'm having difficulty knowing if I'm blessed or not. Come on, somebody. You ever been there? Say, if this is blessing, I'd hate to see anything else. I mean, you ever been there? About 110 degrees in Dallas, Texas, and I was in an old Pinto station wagon. And how many remember the Pintos? They were good for nothing. They were a good car, okay. Mine wasn't good. And it had just caught fire. It backfired, my carburetor caught fire. And so I had an orange soda that I put the fire out with. And it was a traffic jam, and I'm sitting there alongside the road. trying to start the car. And I said, God, I thought I was supposed to be blessed. And I just got so upset, got the car started somehow miraculously. I was trying to get to work and I'm sitting in bumper to bumper traffic. And God said, you can either go through this upset or you can go through it praising me. You got a choice. See, we're blessed spiritually. We have access, number one, we have access to the power of heaven. If I have need of anything, if I have need of patience, if I have need of loving somebody, if I have need of anything, if I have need of boldness or confidence, access to the power of heaven and to the originator of everything that I need is given me 24/7. I need not to ask, God, if it be your will, give me the strength to get through this time. God always wants to give us strength. As a matter of fact, does. Not only do we have access to the power of heaven, we have access to the wisdom of heaven. Sometimes we get ourselves in trouble because we don't hear what God says. Don't do that. God says, don't do that. If you do that, you're on your own. I'm always here. I'll never leave or forsake you. But if you want to do that, you tie my hands. See, we have access to the wisdom of heaven. And thirdly, we have access to the mysteries of heaven. So that we can find out in our spirit, we can find out as we pray, God, why are you taking me through it? What is it that I need to learn from this situation? Because God's goal is always for Him to make us look more like Him. Physical blessings are important and we should walk in them, but God wants us to live spiritually blessed. At all times, in every place, spiritually blessed. Oh man. Sometimes people who are the worst shape physically just blow us away spiritually. Have every reason to curse God. Come on, somebody ever met that somebody like that? In a wheelchair, they're bound, they've got all kinds of problems. And they're just praising God at every turn. We get a little ache or pain or something doesn't happen we want to, we're complaining already. See, we need to realize we need to get where they've gotten. I'm blessed spiritually. And that's the most important because the spirit is going to act, be eternal. This physical body, thank God, is going to stop one day. Come on, someone. So we live that potential. Number three, we are blessed with purity. Turn with me to James chapter 1. James, the first chapter. James chapter 1, get some exercise in your Bible this morning. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Watch what it says. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. I don't know about you, but I pray, God, keep temptation away from me. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Just don't tempt me so I won't have to be tempted. Come on, somebody. The Lord doesn't tempt anybody, but the enemy tempts us all the time. And you could pray till the cows come home. And that prayer is not going to be answered. You are going to be tempted. No temptation has come upon you, but such is common to man. It's just part of life. But we endure temptation because we're blessed with purity. We could say no. We've got the temerity. We've got the strength. We've got the boldness to say, I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to give in to that emotion. I am blessed with a pure heart. Come on. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, I'm a new creation. The temptation that we have overcome approves us to a level of responsibility and favor, not exclusively, but commonly. God says, I can trust you with the things of heaven because you're enduring temptation. You're winning over. I'm going to give you a crown of life. It's with great concern that we acknowledge the restless souls who are never happy. Some that we live among, always looking at faults, always judging before the time, always falling into a familiar pattern. Be cautious about those folks and stay away from them. Don't walk on, have to be around folks that are, you need to walk on eggshells around. I weary at being around folks that question my integrity and my motive. Come on, somebody. Am I the only one? Our motives should be pure. Our heart is pure. And God has given us a pure heart. See, we can, no temptation has come upon me but such as common to man. But in the way of temptation, He gives me a way of escape. Thank God. Number four, we are blessed when we are obedient. We're blessed when we are obedient. James 1:25 says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Woo-hoo! Man, that's a promise. How many know God will bless us? What's he say? He says we look into the law of liberty. We actually read our Bible. And when we look at it, we're not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, we'll be blessed in everything we do. Man, that's like a guarantee. Every time you're up to bat, you hit a home run. Come on, somebody. See, the potential is there that we live it. If it's potential, God does not tease us. We can live that thing. As I've said a lot, sin should not be an expectancy. It should be a surprise. See, we're walking in purity. We're walking in being obedient. When we're obedient, we're blessed. Application of truth is the easiest step and the one overlooked the most. If we just apply the Word of God to the situation, He'd take care of us. But if you're anything like me, sometimes you apply everything else. Logic. How many know nothing about the kingdom of God is logical? Come on, somebody. Be a servant of all and you'll be a leader. That doesn't look logical to me. In a physical sense, if I'm serving everybody, how can I be a leader? If you want to be blessed financially, you give. It's not logical. I thought I was supposed to save my money. But God says He loves a liberal giver. I don't hear any amens. See, it's illogical. But it's exactly what God ordered. See? When we're obedient. Application wards off condemnation. When we apply God's word, we do not walk in condemnation. Therefore, Romans says, there is no condemnation to those who walk after the Spirit. Because that's where I'm looking for blessing. In the Spirit, not in this world. Application allows demonstration. When we apply God's word and it works, we draw the attention of the sinner. We may not know it, but the sinner is looking at us. The people that don't know Christ yet, the Word of God says they'll see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. When we're obedient, we bring and give the attraction of that heaven desires. We're left here for the attraction of heaven. There are three ways I think that you can get to the top of a tree. Number one, you can sit on an acorn. It may take a while, but patience will get you there. Number two is you make really good friends with a bird. That's a little funny. Come on. Number three, climb it. The only way that we're going to see if this thing works is to be obedient. God's grace, God's mercy is when we ask forgiveness. God gives us forgiveness. But His intent is that we just obey. Just climb the tree. Just do what God says. Apply His word. Application brings demonstration. It brings success. And one success builds upon another. And pretty soon we're 10-foot tall and bulletproof. See? If you wait for something to happen, it may never. If you dream about illogical solutions, it may never happen. But if you apply God's word, proven, God's word is proven to work, not for a year, not for 2 years, but thousands of years. If you want consistency in your life, apply the word to every situation. Romans chapter 8 and verse 4 says that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We're going to be successful because we're obedient. We're going to be thankful because we're obedient. And we're blessed because we're obedient. Number five, we are blessed when we endure. Endurance brings blessing. Turn with me to James chapter 5. We were just there, but turn over to James chapter 5 and verse 10. James chapter 5 and verse 10. Moving along very quickly. I want to keep you long today. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. Man, we have been waiting around a long time for the outpouring of God's Spirit, some many more years than others. I can remember back in 1983 receiving a spiritual word from God that I would live to see the greatest revival the world has ever seen. And I thought, man, 1992, the Spirit of God hit the church I was pastoring. Man, you could walk into the place and stand up. People were falling all the time. We had to make sure that others followed others around. I mean, the power of God is just, we'd start to sing and I'd open my eyes and everybody would be on the floor. I said, man, revival's here. But what we're about to see and what we're about to walk into, and it's one of the things is the promises of God, we're blessed when we endure. There must be a willingness to stay the course. Just hang in there. Consistent, there's a lot to be said about consistency. Steady plodding brings success. One of the most comforting things for me is real Christianity that I've experienced here in the Midwest since I've been here. I'm not trying to put the Northeast down, but man, you live in the Northeast, it's up and down. It's kind of like a roller coaster. Where are we at today? Where are we going to be? Where are we at today? Where are we going to be? Where are we at today? But here I see consistent Christian living. You guys model Christ to me. I have no need to, as Paul says, we have no need to talk about or brag on you. You're bragging on yourselves by living consistent lives of faith. See? We endure. Every blockage will appear to dissuade you from continuing. Then is when the battle lies at our doorstep. And we are consistent. We endure. God will bless. Endurance is a covenant promise. Do you know the ability to endure does not come from you? Are you there? The ability to endure doesn't come from you. God gives us the spirit of endurance. Hallelujah. My wife has got tons of it. To put up with me, she has tons of endurance. And it's been given to her by God. Come on, husbands. Look at your wife and say, he's talking about me today. For our wives to, for our family to, look, endurance is something that is a God-given promise. I'm not gonna lose. I'm not gonna win. I'm not gonna end up on the bottom. Always gonna be on the top. I'm gonna endure. I have in the fly leaf of my Bible, and every Bible I've ever had, I have two words, never quit. It's just never quit. I'm gonna outlast. I'm gonna outshine. I don't care how many times I fall, I'm gonna get back up because I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna win this because God promised me. See? Endurance is something that is a God-given right of every believer to endure. Number six, we are blessed when we suffer. Uh-oh. What? Man, this was going along pretty good now, Rick. You're gonna meddle with this suffering thing. But 1 Peter 3:14 says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. Totally against the flesh, that statement. Suffering is often a sign of weakness and wrong belief. Just the opposite is true, though, in the Spirit of God. When we suffer, we give God the glory. The apostles knew that when they were beaten for their faith. They said, thank you for the blessing of being beaten. Yeah. I said, man, I don't know if that'd be the first thing out of my mouth. Yeah. Probably the first thing out of my mouth would be, ouch. That hurt. Come on, somebody. Yeah. They were beaten with rods and whips and said, thank you for the hopefully that never happens in our life. But we've been persecuted. Persecution and suffering brings the blessing of the Lord. That's what my scripture says here in 1 Peter 3:14. We're blessed when we suffer for righteousness' sake. Not blessed if we suffer for something else. Righteous living is not rewarded with a warless existence. If we think that righteous living means that we're going to miss out on all of that, miss out on the warfare, miss out on the, every Christian should say a violent prayer at least once a day to get the enemy away from you and those that you're witnessing to and your family. If you think living the blessed life is apart from warfare, you better think again. This life is filled with war. Spiritually, there's a war for the souls of men going on all the time in the atmosphere. But God wins.
Amen.
Diana came to me. She didn't get a chance to say this morning, witnessing her daughter had cancer. She was operated on. They went in and found she's cancer free. She's cancer free. Because prayer was answered. Persecution happens, but prayer wins out. Victory. See, there can't be a victory without a battle. I don't know about you, but I'd like to be called a victor without going through the battle. That would be nice. I told the story about me wrestling. I was wrestling a state champion. And he happened to be my weight class. I tried to lose weight, go to another weight class. That wasn't working. And man, I trained like I never trained before just so I could do a good showing. I wasn't sure if I could win. And the night came for the match, and he was sick. So he didn't show up. So I got to walk out on the middle of the mat, raise my hand. 6 points for my team.
Wow.
Walk back down and sit down. I won!
Yeah. Hallelujah.
That's an exception, not the rule.
Yeah.
Sometimes God wins the battle for us. We don't do anything. The battle is the Lord's. Either way. But when He calls us to get involved with the battle, rest assured that victory is yours. Whether He does it without your knowledge, whether He does it and just wins, you just win by forfeit. He's already put the... Or you got to face down the enemy. If you have not faced down the enemy in your life, get ready, you probably have to. Come on, somebody. God is not slack concerning His promises. Victory is ours. No matter what we go through, see, we're blessed. We're blessed when we suffer. Number seven, we are blessed when we obey. Blessed is he who reads Revelation 1 and 3, and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. See, obedience is never an option and always a command. God doesn't ask us if we feel like being obedient. Now, Rick, I know you're having a tough day, but here's what I'd like you to do. If you don't want to do it, that's okay. God never says that. God says, this is what I want you to do, and you will do it. Come on, somebody. He gives us free will. We could say no, but I've seen the results of no. I'd rather not do that. When in question, do not. Seek His will. It's available. See, if God says not to do it, stay away from it. Maybe everybody else is doing it, but when God says no to you, be obedient. How do you stay in obedience? Ephesians 2:10 says, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So here it is. The potential is not always the reality, because we live in a world that's less than perfect. But God has given us a way of escape by listening and walking in the works that He did beforehand. He created us the victory before we even were born. Think about that. Every situation you're in, God is not saying, oh my goodness, how am I going to supply for this person right now in this? He has supplied for you before the good works that you'll have to win over the battle. Come on, somebody. We're blessed when we obey. Number eight, we're blessed even in death. Quiet in here. Can I hear an amen? We're blessed even in death. Revelation 14:13 says, I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Woohoo! I can't wait. I can't. I know that God, I don't know about you, but my death certificate has, my birth certificate has an end time on it. God has all my days numbered. So I don't live in fear. I don't live in fear at all. Whenever He's ready to take me home, I'm ready to go. If the glory train comes and we all get raptured out, got my ticket. I'm ready to go. We are blessed even in death. And so get that into your spirit, because that's what keeps a lot of people from going all out with God. I'm all in, God, send me wherever you want, tell me to do whatever you want, I'm ready. See, we're blessed even in death, so the enemy can't threaten us with death. I'll kill you, so, okay, next. Do you need a bullet? I mean, can I help you? Nothing could be greater than the meal prepared before time. He prepares for us. No fear of death in the true believer, Hebrews 2:15 says. Number 9, we are blessed with an invitation. I have an invitation for dinner that outshines any dinner anybody could ever make me, or that I could make. I've got an invitation. I don't know about you. I got an invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Yep. Going to be there for the wedding ceremony. And I get to go to the reception too. Praise God. I don't need to take any gifts. We are blessed with an invitation. Revelation 19 says, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Turn to somebody and say, I'm going to eat good.
I'm going to eat good.
Come on. Nothing could be greater than the meal prepared for us. Nothing could be greater than seeing the saints seated, and we're waiting for that day.
Yeah.
Oh man. Oh man. I can put up with anything. I can put up with anything waiting for that. I've waited for that since the day I said yes to Jesus. Can't wait to see Him. Can't wait to see the bride and all her glory. I'm going to be part of that bride. I'm going to be part of that bond. I'm going to be part of that meal. Praise God. Number 10, we are blessed with the resurrection. Blessed and holy, Revelation says, is he who has part in the first resurrection. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15:50. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. See, the reason why we fear death is because we think it's final. There's nothing final about death. Not to the believer. Death to the believer is a doorway.
Amen.
Death to the unbeliever is a doorway too, but we don't want to go through that.
Yeah.
See, 1 Corinthians 15:50 says, now this I say, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. Underline must. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? We are blessed with the resurrection. Woo, can't wait, can't wait, can't wait. All those who are in this resurrection shall live eternally with Him. All those who are in this resurrection shall receive their new body. Can't wait. Eternal knees. Praise God. Can you believe it? For you young people, you don't know what I'm talking about. Us older folks know. For eternal knees. Praise God. Hallelujah. All those who are in this resurrection shall be called holy. We're going to be resurrected. Number 11. And finally, we are blessed with a sure destiny. You can't shake me. I know where I'm headed. Can't scare me. I know whose I am. So I belong to God. I have a quote here. Let me read it while you read along. Let me read it out loud. I love this. This is one of the things I read on a regular basis, have in my desk. I am part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look down, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed, my present makes sense, and my future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, mundane talking, chintzy giving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by presence, learn by faith, love by patience, live by prayer, and labor by power. My pace is set, my gait is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions few, my guide is reliable, and my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, diluted, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, back up, let up, or shut up until I preached up, prayed up, paid up, stored up, and stayed up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must go until He returns, give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until He comes. And when He comes to His own, He will have no problem recognizing me. My colors will be clear, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Woo! Make that your prayer once a day. Jesus said, "Behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of prophecy of this book." Amen. Blessed are those, the scripture says, who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. We are so blessed. You see, and if we'll live that potential, that's all God's asking us to do, is live our potential. So that we leave nothing on the field. The saddest thing is when we do graduate and go home, God said, "I had all this life to give you. I had all these blessings to give you, and you left them there. You didn't walk in them. Walk in the blessings of the Lord." Especially this coming week when our minds will be on Thanksgiving. A lot of us have minds on turkey and stuffing and cranberry sauce, but we're blessed. Even on Black Friday, we'll be blessed. I'll tell you what I do on Black Friday. Sleep. Lay before the Lord. Everybody else could go shopping. Do you want anything? Nope. Just want to be left alone. My Black Friday is the black of my eyes and sleeping. Amen. So, Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the richness of your presence this morning. What a powerful presence of the Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we'll not forget to give you the thanks, the honor, and the praise for being blessed. Lord, we're so blessed. Help us to live that potential, Father. We decide in our hearts that we're going to live above the line. All our cares we cast on you. All our prayers we give to you. You're a prayer-answering God. You fill us with power and anointing. We thank you for all that. Your promises are yes and amen in your Son, Jesus. We won't forget to give you the thanks that you deserve for all of this. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.